chapter of John this evening. We're in John chapter 3 this morning as well, and we read the first 14. We were in John chapter 1 rather this morning. We read the first 14 verses, and tonight I've been thinking about the theme, the light has come. About at Christmas, the light came into the world. And so I preached on that some this morning, and I'm going to try to preach on it a little bit tonight. But John chapter 3 will be our text when I get there. By the way, those of you in patch, that you got your test, I handed that test out. I had the patch workers hand the test out on Wednesday. Wednesday night when I got home, Jamie had already finished her test. I've never seen kids want to take a test in my life before. If you have your test completed, as somebody gave me one this morning as well, and if you have it completed, bring it up to me, and I'll check them out and see how you guys did. One question should have been worded differently. I can see why. So, of course, I'll have to have Grace and mark them all right on that one because it wasn't worded the best. But I like Grace. Don't you like? Aren't you glad for Grace? That's why I like it. I like a teacher that has grace, and it's always like that. Back in 2012, you might remember this. It was a story of a TSA agent, and he had took an iPod or a computer from the airport. And it made the news, computer from airport missing, and this guy had taken it, this attendant. And so other people, probably the police or whoever, FBI maybe, I don't know, set up a sting like a trap to try to catch him. But what he didn't know is there was a tracking device on this iPad or this computer, and it had a buzzer on it. So they tracked it to this guy's house about 30 miles from Orlando Airport, and they entered his house that he let him in and said, "We're looking for an iPad that was taken from the airport. Did you happen to take it, or do you happen to know where it is?" "Oh, no, 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 I don't know where that is. I don't not know." "Are you sure you don't know where that is?" And they're like, "No." This man is like, nope, I don't know where that is." They said, "Why don't you go check your house again? And while you're checking your house again, we're going to hit the buzzer. And when the buzzer goes off, that way it'll be easier for you to find it." So they hit the buzzer. The buzzer buzzed. And lo and behold, he found that. I think it was an iPad. It might have been a computer. Anyway, the buzzer buzzed, and he gets it, and he hands it over to them, and they said, now remember, this is the attendant that worked there. They said to him, "Now you said you didn't take it." He said, "My wife must have took it. I don't know where she got it. I have no idea where that came from." And you might have remembered that, and it's Genesis 3 is happening all over again. And Genesis 3 happens a lot. When people, they don't want to get caught doing what they did and being negative about what they were negative. So it's just as easy to blame somebody else. Now, that's human nature. That's what that is. You deny it as long as you can. And then once you can't deny it any longer, you blame somebody else. And you minimize it like it's just not that big of a deal. But that's our human nature. And what we have in our human nature is we have a dark side. So this morning we talked about light and darkness. And we do have a dark side. Have you ever thought about this? So this is kind of a sad thing to think about. You ever think about how much theft, how many lies, how much unfaithfulness that nobody ever knows about, that's never reported, it just continues to lies and darkness? You ever wonder how much of that really happens? John chapter 3. I'm going to read the first seven verses to start. I want you to follow along on your Bible, or some of you on your phones, and maybe some of you on your iPads. I really hope it's your iPad and not somebody else's, by the way. But anyway, follow along as I read this. This is a conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so Nicodemus, as we read there, comes to Jesus at night, and obviously he wants to see Jesus, but he doesn't want to be shamed, and he doesn't want the Jews to know that he's coming to see Jesus, because remember, at that time, Jesus was despised. So he is a little bit filled with fear, maybe a little bit of shame, so he comes in the dark. Jesus never got on to him for coming in the dark. He didn't say, why didn't you just come in the daytime like everybody else would have? And because Jesus would have known why. But he didn't really get on to him for that. So they have this conversation, and that's where it begins. But ultimately, in this conversation, it leads to John 3:16. Most here know that verse, but it was part of the conversations where Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that was originally spoken to Nicodemus. Speaking of the love of God, which is where that goes, you know, it has nothing to do with our ability to deserve it. It has nothing to do with our ability to earn it. It is God's choice to love independently of our performance or our worthiness, because we are not worthy. We cannot perform good enough. We're not worthy. We're not lovable. Yet that is the love that God has for us. It's unconditional love. God chose to love us. But then, after verse 16, Jesus goes on. And he says in verse 17 and 18, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus came into a world where we were already condemned. We were condemned already because of our sin. Not because we were lovable. He didn't come because we were lovable. He chose to love us. He already came into a world that was already condemned. Now look what Jesus has said here in verse 19 now. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And so this morning I said I want to talk about light and darkness, because Christmas is about the light coming into the world. So let's pick up that theme now. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in verse 19, and what I talked about mostly this morning, is this. Light, how's it say it there? The light is come into the world. That's a six-word summary of what Christmas is all about. That the light has come into the world. Light has come. Truth has come into the world. Purity has come into the world. And there is a way out of darkness of this world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But it also said in verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, I want you to notice something about this light in verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And then it says, and men love darkness rather than light. I want you to understand, first of all, that this light is both loved and it's hated. Because people love darkness, because their deeds are evil. That's you and me before salvation. That's what we were. We love darkness rather than light. That's what we were. Now, verse 20 is even stronger. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Paul used the phrase in Romans chapter 1, I think, where he talked about haters of God. There are those out there that hate the light and they are haters of God. And most would not say, well, I really hate the light. They're not going to say that. Or they're not going to say, I just hate God. They're going to say, I don't hate the light. Listen, and they'll say something like, I'd rather have love than hate. I'd rather have peace than war, or something along those lines. But what Jesus is saying is this: my light shines farther, even all the way to the Gentiles. It also is, look at chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And there are at least four references in the book of Isaiah that talk about how Jesus is going to be the light to the Gentiles. His light shines brighter. His light shines deeper than all of the darkness. Why is there then injustice, no peace? Why is there hate, evil? Look at verse 19 back there in John 3 again. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Here's the reason: because their deeds were evil. And they love the darkness. And in verse 20, it even said, they hate the light. Jesus even said something like this: you think you have to murder to be evil? He said, no. He said, if you hate somebody, you're just as guilty of murder. Jesus said, if you think you need to commit adultery to be evil, he said, no. If you look at a woman, or if you're a woman and you look at a man, and I guess it works anyway nowadays, you never know, right? But if you look on a woman and lust after her, you're guilty already of adultery. And if you give to be seen and admired, he said, you're a hypocrite. That's what he said. He probes the human hearts. And when you talk to those who walk in darkness, you find they often don't want to come to the light because they don't want to have their deeds, their evil deeds, exposed. But, and I guess everybody here, except for maybe some of the younger ones, everybody here professes faith in Christ. But the fact is, sometimes we end up walking a little bit in darkness, don't we? The boy in Sunday school said, a lie is an abomination unto God. But then he said this: it is also a present help in a time of great need, or something like that. Did you get that? Let me say that again, you guys. I wrote it down, but I didn't look at my note. He said, the lie is an abomination, but it is also a very present help in time of trouble. He quoted a second half of a verse. Anyways, the same darkness is confronting, but if you persist in it, you get to the point where you don't see it as darkness anymore. The more you sin, the easier it is to sin. If you sin once, it's easier the second time. And then if you sin the second time, it's a little easier the third time. And then if you do it, you know what? It just gets easier and easier and easier, to the point where you don't even see it as darkness anymore. And you may think you are walking in light, but you're deceived. I have a disgusting illustration with this. I grew up working on a farm. And we had, our silos and hay and all kinds of stuff that a farm has. And so we have all kinds of critters that didn't belong on the farm, but they were on the farm. And so every so often you'd have a skunk, because one of our silos, you went outside to get the high-moistured corn out of it, and some of it would spill on the ground, and it was like it was an easy lunch or supper. So the skunk sometime would come around. Now, some of you are city people or live more in a community-like, And you've never really smelled a skunk. You say, well, I've driven by them on the road, and they stink my car up for 20 or 30 seconds. Okay, that's nothing. I mean, really smell a skunk. I trapped a skunk one day, and it was all I can think about was, oh, my, this is, what am I going to, it was in a live trap. And I'm like, what will I do with the skunk? Now, if you ever trap one, I want to give you some wisdom here tonight. You take a sheet. This actually works. And you can walk up to your trap and lay it over the top of that trap, and the skunk won't spray you. And I dare some of you to try that right there. But the truth is, that skunk won't spray you. Now, I went to plan B. I grabbed my .22 automatic rifle, and I shot pretty quick and hit it in the head. And that skunk, I couldn't believe it. It never sprayed. It still stunk when you got up to it. Well, on our farm, every once in a while, they would spray real close. And I mean to tell you what, man, it stunk. And it's just repulsive. And it doesn't go away in 20 or 30 seconds. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Amy or Tony DeLego, or maybe even Lindsay, about the stench of a dog when it's covered in skunk. Now, let me ask you something. Was that a repulsive? Good. They agreed with me on that. But you think it bothered the skunk? Think the skunk notices that stench? Skunk don't notice that stench. He might even think it's cologne or something if it's a male skunk. I don't know. But it does not bother the skunk, but it bothers me. And I can, you know, bad odors don't bother me that much usually. But a skunk, when it sprays you point blank, brutal. But it doesn't bother that skunk at all. That's normal to him. And you know what happened? That's how people are who walk in darkness. They don't notice it. They don't notice the stench. They don't know how they don't notice how repulsive it can be. And I think the skunk might be the best illustration of that. People love darkness rather than light. We don't even notice a lot of times our own darkness. But we notice clearly the darkness of other people. And people who walk in darkness, they don't notice it. How can you recognize them? Well, a lot of times they'll have a critical spirit. Have you watched this? If your head's in the sand, I guess you haven't. But if you notice what's going on with this election, one of the freshman senators made a comment, but she was serious. She said, there has to be some kind of a consequence for all these people that voted for President Trump. Now, there's 72 million people that voted for him, and you think they all have to have some kind of a consequence? That's evil thinking. They can't even see how evil they really can be, and it's an awful thing. By the way, they can be some of the most hateful people there are. People think like that. You've been made aware of sex trafficking in this world when my wife gave a presentation. It's a very dark world. I saw on the news this week, actually read on the news this week somewhere, where some of you might have read this as well, an 82-year-old man was keeping, I think, four women in a dungeon as sex slaves. And he came up for parole. He's 82 now, but he got caught and arrested like 18 years ago, and he's up for parole now. Now, I'm telling you, that is dark. When they are in that, they don't see it as just evil and wicked and dark. But there is a darkness in this world. They are critical because they want to expose your or my fault, so they say this person is more at fault than I am, and they want to point ours out to make us, so they make themselves not look so bad, I guess is the best way to say that. They want to cover up their darkness and make up for their emptiness. Then they get defensive, so they're critical, and they're defensive, and they protect themselves, and they protect their darkness. And sometimes I wonder if we don't do exactly the same thing. If we don't get critical, if we don't get defensive when somebody points out a flaw in us, and I have plenty of flaws that you can point out. By the way, I mentioned this sermon before I preached it, but you don't have to tell me after it's not a good sermon or not, because I've already gone through that, okay? One day I walked out of church and it was a man, I was standing by the door. You don't ever see me standing by a door anymore, by the way. But anyway, this guy walks up and he says, takes my hand, that's back when we used to shake hands, actually, and he says, I've heard better. And then he kept on walking out the door. I thought, well, that's just lovely. That's nice. So, and he probably has. I don't think you have to look very hard to hear better, but that's exactly what he said. But sometimes it's easier for us, I'll use myself, it's easier for me to see your flaws than it is for me to see my flaws, and it's easier for you to see others' flaws than it is for you to see your own flaws as well. Maybe, instead of being defensive, you ever wonder why we defend it? It's because, and I want to say this, and I think I wrote it down good. We want to defend it because we don't believe that we are radically loved and radically known at the same time. Listen, God knows everything about you. He knows every thought in your mind. But in spite of that, He loves you anyway. It's an unconditional love. And maybe if we really believed He who knows us fully and loves us completely, maybe we wouldn't be so threatened when we are exposed, because we'd accept the fact that, you know what, that is a flaw in my life, but thank God I'm loved anyway. Accept the truth sometimes. And don't walk in darkness. Now, let's look at John 17. Verse 23 and 24. He said, I in them and thou in me, John 17, 23. They may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest them before the foundation of the world. Jesus loves us. He just does. And this may sound arrogant, but I believe it's true. If you're one of His children, there's a little bit of a special kind of love He has for you than as He has for other people. Lost people, I mean. You ever hear we sang a Ron Hamilton song tonight, but you ever hear the one he wrote, I'm special to Jesus, there's no one else like me? We are special to our Lord. And He really doesn't want us walking in darkness. He wants us to walk in light. Go back to John 3. I made a note next to this verse, but I wish I could read it. Verse 20 says, for every man that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There are times that sometimes our heart gets broken. A child goes off to college, writes back, I no longer go to church. I no longer attend Bible study because I'm an atheist now. I don't believe in God. And they may give you several reasons why, like, I just can't believe the miracles anymore, or, you know, the Bible's got contradictions in it, although nobody's ever found one. It's an ancient book. We don't talk that kind of language, all the different reasons. Jesus gives a very different reason why they left the light. He says, because their deeds are evil. Now you say, Pastor, that's kind of hard. I know that. It is a sin problem. It is a moral problem. Huxley said, we accepted Darwinism because we did not want a God to interfere with our sexual appetite. That's why people love darkness. Their deeds are evil. They love their sin. They just love it. Now, there is a positive side to all of this, though. There is a people, and tonight I'm going to call them light lovers, because we've been talking about light. Now, I want you to look at verse 21, I believe. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, let me clarify something. This is not saying all of these have all these wonderful deeds and they are so terrific all the time and they don't have any flaws and they never do anything wrong and you're just perfect. Well, you're just not perfect, nor am I just perfect. Before to get into verse 21, you have to leave the darkness and you come into the light where there is cleansing and where there is forgiveness. There is an acknowledging of darkness in light people. Light people understand we've had darkness in us. We recognize within us that there are some seriously bad flaws. Jesus says, become a light lover and be exposed for all that you are in my presence. And he says, and then I will give you light. I'm thankful for the light of God. When a gift, what a gift God has given to us at Christmas. What a gift. Now let me say some things. First of all, Jesus, and I want you to think about this, Jesus experienced darkness so that we could walk in light. When Jesus was crucified, one of his sayings from the cross, there were seven, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It says darkness came across the whole earth. Remember the story at the crucifixion scene? None of us really see when our sin was placed on Jesus and the fact that he paid our sin debt. But Jesus says, because I did that and my fellowship with the Father was broken for a short time anyway, you can be exposed to the light. You don't have to walk in darkness, praise God, anymore. And Jesus knows all the skeletons, so to speak, that we say sometimes, all the skeletons in the closet. Jesus knows about every one of them. They know about them all. And yet he's willing to forgive us of every single one of them. Jesus can take care of all the darkness. Jesus goes into our darkness and he takes it all away. Now listen, I'm sure most of you have played tag when you were a kid, and some of you go out and play tag now at nighttime with one of the big lights on your telephone pole if you have. Okay, on the farm we had a pole barn, and next to the pole barn we had a big light on it. So we'd play tag out under that light. It just kind of dawned on me. The further you got away from the light, the bigger your shadow would get. And the closer you would get to the light, now some of you go home and try this. It's not the right time of year to do it, okay, but next summer try it, all right? The closer you get to the light, your shadow shrinks. And if you could get right underneath the light, your shadow would be tiny. Isn't that true spiritually? The further we get away from the light, the darkness gets bigger. And the closer we stay to the light, the more spiritual fruit we produce in our life. If you are in your darkness, you need to come to the light. Jesus takes the shadows of our life and he gives us hope. And because Jesus endured the darkness, we can enjoy walking in the light. Remember what he said? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We fellowship with him. So as I said this morning, we always need to keep coming to the light. Then see the light and be willing to feel the heat of it. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, if God convicts you of sin, allow God to convict you of sin. See the heat of it. I have certain light bulbs that I put underneath my crawl space in my house, and they're called heat lamps. And those babies put out some heat. And I mean, you don't want to touch them when they're on, I'm going to tell you. They don't last only about 1 year. I replace them every fall. Every fall I replace them. But they put out the heat. And there's a lot of light bulbs, and the new LEDs not so much, but there's the heat. And you have to feel the heat of God. You need to get close enough to the light so that when there's something in your life, I used the word flaw earlier, I'll use it again, you can feel the heat of God on you, and you can get that right, and you can keep your fellowship with him. Remember when I started this lesson, I started with a story about the guy who took the iPad, and the guy lied and lied. And then they had the thing rigged with a buzzer, and the buzzer went off, and, well, he had to produce it. If there's a buzzer going off in your heart, and that buzzer is reminding you of issues that you need to get right with God, you need to get them right with God. You need to stay as close to the light as you can. When we begin to hate our darkness, we come to Jesus, and he'll do for us what he did for Nicodemus. I wanted to remind you this. Paul worded it like this. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his blessed Son. Paul said it. That's close. Now, think about that. We were walking in darkness, but now we are walking in the light as he is in the light. We come to the light. We leave the darkness. And then I want to say only God can bring us from darkness to light. There is no other way to make that transition, you know, from darkness to light. You can't do it all on your own. You can't say, I'll make some behavior modifications and New Year's is coming and I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions and that's going to take care of everything and I'll make these modifications and it'll change me and I'll be different, but eventually you're going to go back and do the same thing. I wish somewhere I got to be able to find a statistic that says, this is how many New Year's resolutions were made and this is the percentage of them that were kept. I got to do that. And I'll bet you, it's like, not so many. I haven't been to the gym since March, but we used to go to the gym, and in January, the gym would be full. I'll be generous and say by the middle of March, no problem getting to any machine you wanted to get to. People like, that was a big fling, and it was a good decision to go to the gym and work out. It just didn't last. That you have to come to the true light to make it real. The Bible, here's what the Bible says. Can a leopard change its spots? The leopard can't change its spots. Nor can you and I pull ourselves out of darkness. Only the Lord can do that. When Jesus was discussing this with Nicodemus, and I want you to notice a couple verses there, and then we'll look at a few other verses here in a moment. But in verse 3, where we read, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee. He said, ye must be born again. There has to be the new birth. And once you're born again into the family of God, it's a birth from a heaven or a birth from above. It's called a new birth, or born again, as Jesus said. You just keep getting closer and closer and closer to the light. How is your relationship? How is your fellowship with the Lord? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? It's a birth from above. It isn't produced from any human effort of me or you. It's not a matter of human willpower. It's a gift of God. And when we come to Jesus, he transforms us from one kingdom, darkness, to another kingdom, light. I thank the Lord for that. I do want to mention this, and I want you to flip over to chapter 19. Of John's Gospel. And I'm going to start reading in verse 38. Eventually, Nicodemus did come to the light. He came to Jesus by night. But after Jesus had been crucified, we pick up in around verse 38. It said, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. That's the same guy that's mentioned in chapter 3. Which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as a matter of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man laid. There laid they Jesus. They did it. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So somewhere along the road there, Nicodemus became a follower. Earlier in chapter 3, he's under conviction. Later, he comes to confession, and he does come to Jesus, and now he is a publicly associated with Jesus in John chapter 19. Nicodemus had an open, willing heart, and he received grace, and he accepted that, and he walked in newness of life. Now, are you tired of darkness? Somebody here tonight might be just like dabbling in darkness, so to speak. We need not walk in darkness. You don't have to walk in darkness. You have to live in darkness. You may be able to manage your darkness for a while, but you're not going to imagine it forever. Come to the light. Get closer and closer and closer to the light. And you know what happens? The shadows get smaller and smaller. We have to walk in the light, as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another. What a wonderful thing it is that Jesus allows us to walk in light. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the light. The simple summary about Christmas is the light has come into the world, and we have fellowship with him. He loves us. I pray, Lord, that people would realize a simple principle, that he who fully knows us loves us unconditionally, even though he knows us. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, I pray that we'll continue to long to walk in the light as days get darker and darker in our world. Things seem to get more evil. All kinds of wickedness in this world. May we be, well, Paul called us day people in Thessalonians, but may we be people of the day and not of the dark, not of the night. And may we learn to truly walk and follow after God. May you give us that passion. May you give us a desire and heart, and all of our young people, a heart to follow hard after the Lord. And I will certainly thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can wipe things down. You can put your offering in the offering plate, which I never did mention. Remember all those I mentioned this morning in